Welcome to Morton, Illinois, about 12 miles east of Peoria. It's the site of the Morton Pumpkin Festival and home to the Ackerman Family Farm. This historic property off of U.S. 150 in rural Tazewell County has been in John Ackerman's family for more than a century. It's now his responsibility to keep the soil fertile, the customers happy, and the bills paid.
This farm's been in our family for 110 years and 2 weeks.
Wow.
Just about, yeah. We just celebrated our 110th anniversary of this, our family farm. It was a small family farm, like so many across the Midwest. The house we're sitting in right now was designed by my great-grandfather. My grandfather actually helped to build it. We have a picture of him on a mule pulling the dirt out from where the basement was dug. My dad was born right behind you there in the parlor.
Wow, and you live here?
I live here, and I raise my wife and I have raised our four children here.
Has the farm gotten bigger or smaller over the years?
Well, that's kind of been the problem. You know, farms, we went into a rough time during the 1980s. And generally, you either got really huge, or you got out altogether like so many did, or you got an off-the-farm job, or you did like we did, which is to intensively farm the ground with specialty crops like pumpkins. It's difficult to buy land that'll pay for itself. So we haven't really grown in acreage, but every year we get more and more people come, and we raise more and more pumpkins in different varieties.
How are you guys doing today?
Good.
It's a good day today.
It's beautiful.
What do you grow here?
So we have corn and soybeans and wheat and pumpkins. Some years we get a contract with a local Libby's plant to grow the processing or canning pumpkins. But every year we grow all those varieties of the pumpkins, gourds, and squash that we sell right here on the farm to the public.
I think I need your recipe.
There's recipe cards on the counter in there. One side tells you how to take it from a raw pumpkin and to process it, and the other side's our favorite recipe.
Where does all of the product go then? Does it exclusively go here?
So most of the corn generally grown in the Midwest is number two yellow field corn, and it can be used in a variety of ways. So we'll take our corn from this farm to the local grain elevator. It'll then be distributed through various means to either animal feed or human consumption or export or ethanol. But the corn they raise for just row crops for profit, they go out into the open market, just like much of the other yellow corn that's available. Same way with our soybeans.
So a lot of times when you see them roll off the lot in truck, you have no idea specifically where they're going, or do you have a good understanding?
No, really, truly, it is interesting, because when that truck leaves our farm and it ends up in those big grain bins, it could go anywhere. It could end up in China. It could end up in your potato chips or your corn chips. It could be fed to my cow.
Has it become easier to farm or more difficult to farm? I can imagine the technology has gotten better. Maybe the chemical balances have gotten better. Maybe the weather has gotten worse. What have you noticed?
There have been a lot of changes over the years. And one of the things that comes to the forefront is technology. The problem with technology is it's so very expensive. So there has to be some cost return benefit to it. So while there's fantastic things that we do with technology, I even pay a fellow farmer to come in with this tractor with GPS, and we digitalize my picture for the corn maze, and then he plants it wherever there's going to be a path that does not drop a seed. For probably 16 or 17 years, I used to take my design into that same field. I'd plant north, south, and east, west to make a grid pattern, and I would actually stomp out my design. So there's a pretty simple example of technology making life easier. But again, it comes at a cost. There's better varieties. We still raise corn and beans out here. The seed corn and seed bean varieties are so much better than they were back when I was a young man.
Hello. Are you finding everything you want? You need a bigger cart. So this year we got about 33 acres of hand-picked ornamental pumpkins, gourds, and squash. We pick every single one by hand. We pick about 30,000 pumpkins every single year.
This location in Morton is interesting because a pumpkin capital of Illinois, pumpkin capital of the world, is that correct?
Pumpkin capital of the world is what we'll claim.
Okay.
For most of the many years, over the past many decades, 95% of all the canned pumpkin in this country were canned right here in Morton, Illinois. And 85% of all the pumpkins canned anywhere in the world were also canned right here in my hometown of Morton. We've got a pumpkin festival in the fall. We celebrate that little slice of Americana. It's just so enjoyable, and it ties in so well with what we do on our farm. You know, the community has been so supportive to us.
There are pumpkin farms all up and down the state of Illinois. Why Illinois?
Well, we're in a good growing region for pumpkins. They call it the Orange Belt. If you go too far north, the days are too short and the season is too short. If you go too far south, the humidity plays into it a lot because they're subject to fungal diseases. So there's kind of a band across the country that is just good for growing. We're blessed with some of the greatest soils in the world, which is a true blessing for growing pumpkins. And there's a lot of expertise. We've been growing pumpkins around here for a long time.
Is there any value to pumpkins outside of Halloween? I mean, you had mentioned the mixture for pies. I mean, what else is there?
Well, of the 160 varieties that we grow here, a great many of them are old heirloom varieties from all over the world. We get our seed from every continent on the planet except Antarctica. And many of those have been grown for food for centuries. So a lot of the ones that we sell have been used all over to be cooked and made in all kinds of things like pies and soups and vegetable dishes. It's a healthy product. It's good for you. And it's not just that Thanksgiving pie. It can be used all year long.
Are you the reason everyone has pumpkin spiced everything nowadays? Is the pumpkin lobby strong right now?
Well, there's not enough of us to be a huge lobby, but I think those pumpkins become that iconic symbol of fall. You know, when you see those pumpkins, it gives you that good feeling of, you know, it's that time of year we all so enjoy. The temperature is wonderful. The leaves are changing. And as a farmer, you know, being able to look out in my pumpkin field and see the fruits of our labor, you know, it feels like me and God have been growing them all year, and he lets me get to see them at the end of the year.
2019 was a challenging year for John Ackerman and farmers all across the Midwest. The ag industry took big hits because of bad weather, international trade, and politics.
This is a Tennessee spinning gourd. If I had a flat place, I would snap it like that, and it would spin like a top.
Yep. Sure. Okay.
We sell thousands of those. The kids love them.
Really?
There's a flat white boar. I believe that's an African one. This is one of the favorite pumpkin chucking pumpkins. This is a Guatemalan. It's La Estrella.
What happened this year that was so unique?
In my entire farming life, and I have been farming my entire life, this was the worst spring for getting anything planted. It started out cold and wet back in October, and it stayed cold and wet right through what should have been the ideal, optimal planting period. It was so bad, I lost both of my beehives. And I had a friend who lost all 10 of his. It was that cold and that wet. So it was very difficult to get any of our crops in a timely fashion. Now, the blessing of the year has been the pumpkins, because even though I didn't get done till July 2nd, which is very late for planting pumpkins, it turned incredibly hot, and we were actually in the drought monitor. So pumpkins, surprisingly, like it dry and warm. So even though my corn and soybeans have truly suffered, and there will be a yield loss to those, the blessing has been those pumpkins. It's been a fantastic pumpkin year. Just can't believe it.
Let's talk about the corn and the soy then. What numbers-wise, where are you at compared to where you usually are?
If I had to guess, because we've just started our harvest, there's a few surprises that are pleasing. But to be totally honest, I think we're looking at a 20 to as much as a 30% yield loss. That's pretty devastating if you completely rely on those corn and soybeans for your income, because the price that we're receiving doesn't reflect that kind of production loss. There's been some political things. There have been some loss of exports. And I think there was some carryover from the previous really good years. But it's a little frustrating when you know you're going to get a low yield and a low price.
It rains every year, though. I mean, was it just the amount this year? And where is the problem? Is it that the seeds don't stay in the ground? Is it hard for you to get the equipment out?
There's several things. One, you never want to work the ground wet. But as the year goes later than later, you have to make a decision. What's the trade-off between working ground wet and compacting it versus planting too late? There's other factors that made this year kind of rough. It rained an awful lot at the wrong time. You want a timely rain, but you don't want endless rains, and it was just endless. So we finally had to work the ground a little too wet. That's hard on my plants. It was too cold, so they didn't germinate well. We're off to a terrible late start just to begin with. Mm-hmm. And on top of everything else, the tap shuts off, and we go into the drought. So, again, my pumpkins did very well. Even though I planted late, they really came back. They were timely. They produced well. Beautiful plants. Very little disease. Corn and soybeans got off to a terrible start, and there's no way they could make it up. And those beans especially needed that July and August rains they didn't get.
What does that mean for us, the consumer?
I think it's not going to affect the consumer so much, mostly because there just has not been a compensatorial change in the price of commodities. What I think could happen, I hate to be the one who starts the rumor, but if the Board of Trade finds out that everyone's going through the same type of yield loss that I'm going to have, then the price could shoot up. But it's so hard to predict that.
This used to be a hog building. What sits on blocks now used to sit on the ground. This was the farrowing house. This is where piglets were born. We've got chickens and turkeys and pheasants and peacocks. We've got bunnies.
Mr. Lurkey going to make it through the Thanksgiving holiday?
He's pretty safe.
Perfect timing.
Yeah. He's making his own case there.
You had alluded to the tariffs. Obviously, that's something that we knew was going to hurt farmers. Have you seen any impact of that as of yet?
Yeah, we did, especially during some of the times when there was talk of trade wars. Prices really took a dip.
This was just on speculation at that point.
Well, and that's the problem. On the Board of Trade, commodity prices move rapidly with just a rumor or the hint of a rumor. And a lot of times the facts come in later, but then it's too late. People have already made up their minds that something's going to happen. And I'm not saying that there shouldn't have been trade talks, and that's not the point, really. I think it's just a question of the way it's handled. There's kind of a more delicate way that some of these negotiations could be handled that won't affect the market as much. And maybe that's what some of us farmers were hoping for.
Are you going to be able to get us out of this maze?
No, we're going to be here until we get harvested, I think. How are you guys doing?
How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Figure you're lost?
Well, I can tell you for sure the easy way out is right that way.
Yay!
We don't do this because it's going to make you rich. You know, yeah. Some people get stars in their eyes and think this will be so lucrative, but it's really not that kind of way. Things you have to get used to in any farming operation is how much your income varies. One year could be a great year, and maybe the next 2 years will be really, really hard ones. And you have to be able to adjust your spending habits, your income. You've got to manage your budget so you can make it through the lean years.
How old are you?
3 years old.
3 years old. Very good. How old do you think that pumpkin is?
36 pounds.
36 pounds. Is that pumpkin way more than you? Who's heavier, the pumpkin or you?
I'm not pumpkin. I'm a boy.
You are a boy. You are not a pumpkin.
I love this job. I really do. There have been... We're awfully close to town, and there have been offers to purchase the farm for development money, and I was an economics major in college. I know on paper it would probably be the smartest thing to sell out, but you've got to make some decisions. You know, what kind of lifestyle do you want to lead? You know, and what really are riches? You know, riches aren't always just money. You know, there's riches that come with raising your children the same way your dad raised you, living in the house that's been passed down. It's a lifestyle choice, to be sure, and it kind of gets in your blood, but we love what we do here.